The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. It is Feb 21. It is the day before Washington's real birthday. Lincoln's real birthday was back February 12th. Washington's real birthday is tomorrow. And I am reading a book that Regina gave me, my daughter gave me. A little bit of history, a little bit of art, two things I like. And it contains something that I was kind of fuzzy on, but it really brings in a sharp focus about something that happened toward the end of Washington's presidency that might sound a little familiar to today. I will share that. Also, coming, you know, rushing headlong up into today's headlines, have you heard in the last, 12, 18 hours that there's another story of Russian collusion? There's an official who briefed Congress that the Russians are trying to help Trump again. And oh my God, just don't worry about it. Sit tight. I will share everything you need to know about that. Before I get going on any of that, let me share everything we already know, but it's just fun to say. It's Friday.
Ah, I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
I feel good.
I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good.
Ah! I would not. So good, I got you.
Tripped over these guys in a revisit of the 80s recently. Out of Birmingham, England, Mick Hucknall and the boys of Simply Red. Remember these guys?
Why don't you look at the bright side?
Just a great voice on this guy.
Walk in, take a look inside.
Big hit was, Holding Back the Years. Remember about circa 1985? But this is Open Up the Red Box.
Open up the red box.
I have no idea what that means.
Come on, open it up.
But it's just kind of fun to do. Try it with me. Ready?
Open up the red box.
Okay. Not enough of that nonsense. We got serious stuff to do. Simply Red, which is kind of an off, because Mick Hucknall has this big shock of red hair, or did back in 1985. The album was Picture Book, and it was just one of those cool mid-80s, blue-eyed soul is the term that's often used. I mean, that's usually, it's kind of funny, which is also known as like white guys who can sing. I mean, I don't even know what, Hall & Oates often get tagged with that. I don't know what it is. Anyway, though, Mick Hucknall, Simply Red, and Open Up the Red Box. Let's open up the box of topics, shall we? 866-660-5759. Real quick, before I get stuff stacked up that I refer to and then never come back to again, here on ADD Friday. The historical stuff about Washington, I'm reading a book called Of Arms and Artists. Of Arms and Artists, The American Revolution Seen Through the Eyes of Painters. The coolest thing in the world. Regina gave it to me 6 months ago or so. We bury each other in books all the time, and it's the coolest thing in the world. And a guy's name is Paul Statey, who wrote this, and he we're going through the famous Gilbert Stuart paintings of George Washington. He painted George Washington like a lot, and the most famous one you see every day is on a dollar bill. Listen to me. You see, who sees currency anymore? Do you know what happened to me? I told you it was ADD Friday. Do you know what happened to me literally yesterday or day before? Lisa handed me a penny. Okay, hang on a minute. Let me.
George Washington story, fake news, misty nostalgia, which sounds like somebody's stage name. Okay, here's the misty nostalgia that gets me to my American currency story. Don't worry, I'll keep track of this. Just keep your hands inside the vehicle. It's all going to be okay. Oh, speaking of keep your hands inside the vehicle, a coworker of mine went down to Disney, Hollywood, whatever they call that thing now, and did the Star Wars thing, and it's insane. I got to get down there. Okay. Okay. I now have the first full hour of the show. I may not be able to take any calls anymore. Sorry. Kidding. Yes, I will. 866-660-5759. All right. Why were we in Southlake? It's pretty close. We used to live a lot. When we lived in Keller, we were at Southlake Town Square all the dang time. And I remember I've loaded up Lisa and Ethan, and we were in the mood for some ramen, which happens a lot. I've gone on a huge ramen kick, and I love it. And I don't mean the styrofoam cup filled with God only knows what kind of sodium bomb that's getting everybody through college most days. I mean just good, authentic ramen. There's a place up in Flower Mound called Ramen Mura. And I forgot the name of it. And there's one in Southlake Town Square that's right by Brio and Barnes & Noble. And I totally can't remember the name of it. But it was pretty darn good, too. And I said, let me take you to that place. We'll check it out. So we're over in Southlake. And I'm over there. I'll tell you why I'm over there is going to Kendra Scott. Every anniversary, birthday, Valentine's Day, it is like in husbands. Man, there are two words you need to know. Kendra Scott. There's not a woman that doesn't love Kendra Scott. How many Bentleys can this woman drive? I don't know. Is she have like Austin roots or something? But so I'm in there all the time, get like the latest, earring, bracelet, necklace, something, because Lisa just loves it. And I love giving her things that she loves. So I'm over there multiple times a year. I guess it was the first time, that Lisa and Ethan and I had been on the property at Southlake Town Square in perhaps years. I mean, maybe a lot of years. You know, honestly, maybe we go down for some art festival or Christmas time or something like that. But just to go and just hang out and, you know, fiddle around and look at stuff. And we got unbelievably nostalgic because Ethan, I won't say he grew up, but we moved out of Keller in 2008. Just when Ethan was almost five. So from birth, you know, one-year-old, two-year-old, three-year-old, four-year-old Ethan was we were at Southlake Town Square all the time, running around at that little patch of grass in what used to be the only territory that Southlake Town Square had. And we got kind of misty. I mean, Lisa literally teared up a little. And like, do you remember? Because Ethan's in the back seat and he's taller than she is now, and he's going to be 17 in a couple of months. And it's like, do you remember being here? And we'd lift him up and let him dangle his feet in the fountain. And so Lisa had to run into Bath and Body Works and get something. And we were just going to do some orbits. And I said, bud, we're going to park the car. We're going to hop onto a bench. And when mama comes out, we're going to tell her, just walk across to the fountain because we just want to sit here with you for a little bit. And we had about 5 or 10 minutes and just sat there and remembered throwing coins in that fountain and running around playing red light, green light with our 2, 3, 4-year-old son. And it was just the best. It was the best. Remember a couple of months ago when I talked about living the cash-free life? I've got like $40 in my little money clip in the front wallet. It's the same $40 I've had maybe since Trump won. It's just because I know the valets and for tipping or whatever. Who does cash? I just don't. I hardly ever do. I'm slipping a credit card in a stupid thing to buy a water or a cup of coffee at 7-Eleven. I just do. And we talked about how that means I don't have change anymore. I used to be able to every 3-4 months go to the coin store and have a couple of $100 of change from. So I just don't never do that anymore. Here's where I'm headed. Lisa says, I said, give me, you got any coins? Because Lord knows I don't. And we were going to go throw coins in the fountain, just like our kid's 3 years old again. So we go up and she gives me some pennies. I look, this is so stupid. I look at the penny and I go, honey, is this real? Because I was looking at the back of the penny that has some kind of shield thing on it. I don't even know what that is. And I thought, is this some kind of bizarre subway token or fake penny or what even is that? I didn't recognize American currency. I was suspicious of something counterfeit because I had not looked at the back. Because to me, what's back of a penny is Lincoln Memorial, right? Well, they changed that up, apparently. Didn't tell me. And it was, I felt so incredible. I felt like unfrozen caveman lawyer. I'm confused by your currency. I don't know what this is. So I finally, you know, got my head right and realized it is in fact an American penny. And it just jolted me to the notion of leading the essentially the currency free life. So when's the last time you looked at an actual dollar bill? That's the Gilbert Stuart painting of George Washington. See, look at this. See how I've dovetailed right back into that other story? See what I did? Yeah, the show's early. I'll lose all control by 9 o'clock, so follow closely. So the George Washington story, and Paul Stady writes about this in Of Arms and Artists. Just Amazon it. It's a fascinating book because we didn't have TV. We didn't have, you know, photography. Painting was huge. Guys were painting 24/7 to crank out big paintings, small paintings, stuff. The people were commissioned to do little portraits of warriors in the Revolutionary War and send them to their family members so that if they died, they have something to remember them by. It's like the, you know, 1777 counterpart of a dog-eared faded photograph that you might find in somebody's wallet if they were shot in the countryside of France in World War II. Awesome history, wonderful history. Now, here's where I'm going. See if this sounds familiar. As Washington's presidency wound down, he was catching holy you-know-what. Just absolute holy you-know-what. Thomas Paine. Of, you know, common sense pamphleteer fame and even some other, you know, found folks in the founding father sphere. And I don't know. Was it envy? I don't know. Was it that they didn't know if they could match him and he needed to be brought down a couple of rungs? But Washington was catching all kinds of grief for being an egomaniac, for being self-important, for making it all about him rather than the freshly created country. And they were just putting a shiv in his ribs metaphorically all the time in like the 1780s. And it mattered not one bit to public opinion. It mattered not. People who woke up one day and decided they didn't like him anymore had no obvious, because you probably didn't even know this story. I'd kind of forgotten this story, that Washington had fierce, ferocious critics, some of them pretty high up muckety mucks in late 18th century America. And the net effect on his legacy was zero. Washington was untouchable. It did not matter what a whole lot of people who woke up one morning with a bug up their butt and a chip on their shoulder had suddenly decided that bothered them about George Washington. Gee, does that sound familiar? Welcome to today. Because every day somebody wakes up and decides they don't like Trump anymore. They never did. And they're going to find some way to try to, kick him in the crotch. And it's just not going to matter. Which brings us directly to the fresh story in the news today. Let me take a break and tell you about that. And that involves Russia is looking to help Trump win in 2020. An election security official told lawmakers, and this is like catnip. This is like a big, big bowl of crack for the dominant media culture. Oh, we got him now. Hey, did you see the Democrat debate? They ain't got him on that stage. Trump beats everybody on that stage handily. If nothing changes in the dynamic between now and November 3rd, I'm going to congratulate Mike Gallagher because you know what this is? 7:35. It's the Mike Gallagher crap file. The crap file is something the media goes and finds when Trump has a really good week, or compared to Democrats, as you know, when things are really looking strong and good for Trump, the media will find something. They'll go digging through. They've got to need something from the crap file. Today's crap file entry is this phony, ridiculous story that there is some election security. Oh, the woman exists. Her name is Shelby Pearson. But the notion that this is meaningful? It is complete fake news. I'll unpack it for you next. We'll talk to people. We'll do stuff. We'll have a lot of fun. A little song, a little dance, a little seltzer in your pants. Old Mary Tyler Moore episode. Sorry. It's Friday, 7:23, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer.
She took down a photograph of our wedding day. Ripped it down the middle and threw my half away.
I love Chris Stapleton more every time I hear this album, Traveler.
I got nobody to blame but me.
Nobody to blame. 866-660-5759. Tell you what, I'm going to go through the fake news story, the crap file story with Mike Gallagher. He'll join us 7:35. It basically involves some woman who testified, "Ooh, it looks to me as though there's more hacking, more weaponizing of social media, more attacks on the election infrastructure. Ooh, I see it through my special X-ray eyes." And so all the Democrats are going nuts. Media's going nuts. Oh, he's trying to do it again. Trump's trying to steal an election again. We'll unpack that here in a second. Will, Mark Davis, welcome. Let's talk to you going into the news burst with Gordon. How you doing, sir?
Well, I can be doing a little bit better. I'm playing hooky from work right now. But you're quite honestly, Mark, your opinion is the only one that really matters on this question. Still going to get in trouble. It's not going to
That's pressure.
Well, unless you can't write a physician's note, can you?
No, exactly.
No, I don't know. Well, anyway.
Nope, sorry.
Four or five weeks ago, I was pretty scared of the fact that Bloomberg was entering the race and that he could virtually pay for and purchase the election. But now that Mini Mike, you know, all but completely shot himself in the foot last night, it raises the question that Bernie has a 10-point lead in most any poll that you can see out there right now. Mm-hmm. And the simple fact of the matter is this, that if the DNC, and I'm not really sure who heads the DNC.
Tom Perez is the National Party chairman now.
Even if Bernie gets the collective nod from the National Democratic Party, or you know, from the Democrats in the nation, Can the DNC affect? I mean, aren't they pretty much going to be shooting themselves in the foot if they put him as their nominee? Because to do so would be pretty much saying that the Democrats, he's a socialist. He's a registered socialist.
You're completely on the correct path toward identifying the Democrat plight. Bernie is popular, might be popular enough to get the nomination outright as of convention time. Or maybe he just has more delegates than anybody else, but it's a plurality, not a majority. So they got to settle this at the convention. The Democrat national plight, the party apparatus, has to look at the notion of Bernie Sanders being the nominee as the full admission that their party has gone full socialist. And that might not play well in the November election. Trump might smoke Bernie Sanders up one side of America and down the other. So Tom Perez, other Democrat upper muckety mucks, will try to put their thumb on the scale to elevate somebody to stop Bernie. But who's it going to be? Doesn't so much look like it might be Bloomberg anymore. But as I said all day yesterday, one debate does not ruin Bloomberg. Because what's the deal today, tomorrow, the next day, the day after that? And there's another debate in South Carolina next week. He may do better. The news cycles run so fast and things change so quickly. Don't write Bloomberg off yet, but Biden continues to fade. Don't write Elizabeth. Elizabeth Warren still has some you-know-what in vinegar in her. So it's a wide-open race, but your instincts are exactly right. The Democrat upper establishment, I mean the establishment, is scared to death of Bernie as the nominee. It's kind of delicious to watch their angst. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. All right, let's go get Mike. Mike has things to tell us, and I don't want to hold him up. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 7:33. Gordon Griffin is in the newsroom. Sean Colvin.
This is my window to the world.
Window to the World, your talk show window to the world every morning at 10. Your friend and mine, it's Mr. Mike Gallagher. Happy Friday,
aww,
Mike. How are
what
you?
What a nice intro. Heck, I've been up, yeah, since the crack of dawn. I pulled Mark Davis hours today. I'm in Orlando, and our boss, Phil Boyce,
yes,
ran with his beautiful wife, Diana, in the Disney Princess 5K. Now, it's about 48 degrees and raining. It started at 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, man.
I'm staying about an hour away from the park. It started at Epcot, so I get up at the crack of dawn. I'm up about 3:45 because I thought, you know, this race meant so much to them because both, you know, hey, we all get to a certain age, and Diana has had a couple of little health problems lately. So she's been training, and she's been so excited. And the key is everybody that runs in the marathon or the half a marathon,
right,
they dress up in Disney characters. So Diana went,
God,
as Tinkerbell.
Oh,
Phil went, get so, this,
so
as
not
Peter
only are
Pan.
You, not only are you running 13.1 miles.
3.1.
You said half marathon.
Well, it's called it's a 5K.
Oh, so that's not that's
so it's
3.1.
That's not a half. Maybe the half a marathon
it's
is later, but
it's about 3 miles. Cool.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Very,
yep.
Sorry.
So you're running
so
3 miles.
Not only
yep,
are you running 3 miles, but it's Halloween. You're
right in Disney Halloween, and
tremendous.
There's Phil, who goes about 6'8", yeah, wearing a Peter Pan. He's Peter Pan.
I
he's got
pictures.
A Peter Pan.
I need
oh,
pictures.
I got pictures. I'll send it to you as we speak. And I'm standing there holding a sign. I decided to go all out, and I haven't done this in about 50 years since, mm-hmm, my kids were little.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a sign: "Go Diana, go Phil,
that's
go."
That's so cool.
And it's rain, but it was fun, and they were so glad to have me there. And I felt like a dope. I'm standing there with about 9 other stragglers. I'm go. Go, Phil, go, Diana.
That's fantastic.
And took them forever to,
well, thank you for sharing. And this is crazy because I literally telegraphed to these listeners the things that I've had to share with you today. And some of them are topics and some of them are just stuff. And one of the one that's just stuff, I'll do 60 seconds on it right now. You are in Orlando. Our operations right manager, David Darling, he and his wife are fresh back from Orlando where they right did the, what's it even called? Disney Hollywood Studios. Is that a thing now? Is that?
Yeah.
So, okay, now.
Yeah, it used to be called the Disney MGM theme park. Now
gotcha
it's called Disney Hollywood
Studios. And you know, do you know what's in there? The Star Wars. Galaxy's,
oh, yeah,
Edge. And
yep,
they did, and he on Facebook he put a thing, he's in the cantina. They have a remake of the cantina where
they
people
do
are walking around in character, aliens,
correct,
in full makeup and garb, little Jawas, those red-eyed going, they come up and they try to barter with you. It is just I would freak out in 5 languages, but they loved it and it was unbelievable. And then they did this Rise of the Resistance. It's
yep
not, it's not a ride, it's an experience. And it, and
it
he
is
described this to me, and you get into this spacecraft and it seems to move, it seems to go somewhere else where suddenly you're outside, and then when the doors open you're in some huge battle death cruiser thing.
Correct.
Correct. And he described, he said they can't do lines. You couldn't do a line for this. There'd be a million
no
people in it. So everybody shows up in some waiting area, speaking of which, 6:45 in the morning with their phones out because they're plugged into the app. And then at the dot of 8 o'clock, everybody just goes and tries. And then it spits back to you, you are in boarding party 57. Oh, thank God.
Wow.
Because if you're beyond 60, no guarantee that you get on the ride that day. So then
that
you can then go, you do whatever you need to do in the world of Disney, be back in order to board the Rise of the Resistance. He said it was one of the doggondest things that he had ever been through.
The technology that they're employing for these rides today,
yep,
is just stunning. I mean, there's an Avatar. There's a whole Pandora park, you know, and that was the movie based on Avatar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a ride where you get on like a creature, one of those yeebies or woobies, or whatever they are, they're flying around. And you fly on the creature, and, you know, you're like straddling this thing. and you feel it breathing. You feel its ribs pushing up against your legs, you know, as you're flying through the cliffs and over the valleys
cool.
and everything. And
cool.
But me, you know, all I got to do is go over to my old standby, old school haunted mansion, 999 happy haunts. I just have so many memories from going all the way back to childhood. And for me, I'm a traditionalist, so I love my Disney.
Is the Tower of Terror part of that?
Ugh.
Okay.
Don't bring that up.
Because I've had people describe
my
that to me.
My kids have dragged me on that.
So you've done it. You basically are in a thing, and the bottom drops out.
You're in an elevator.
And your organs are thrust up into your neck by inertia.
Drop 12 stories. You're in an elevator, uh-huh. and the elevator's in a haunted house, uh-huh. and it's the coolest. And you see Rod Serling. He says,
really?
Scary things are happening here in this house, and people have been killed, and the elevator's moving all over the place, like on tracks. And then you go all the way up to the top, and they're like, whoops, the elevator cable has snapped. And then you drop 12 stories. And then, as I'm about to faint, then they decide to do it a few more times to you. They bring you back up to the top and drop you again for good measure. It's a torture thing.
Do you walk out like in an old Roadrunner Merry Melodies or something, like an accordion?
I walk out on a stretcher. I think you take me to ICU. Because I hate the feeling of dropping, that sensation of dropping. Because you come up, you know, you lift up off your seat as you're dropping. You know, it's like, oh, no, never
That's
again.
Awesome.
They've tried the last few years. I won't do it. Hey, let's get down to business. I want to share a couple things with you. I'm Charleston bound. I can't miss the debate next week.
Oh, this is incredible. You're going?
I'm going. I'm going to go broadcast from Charleston. I'm in the arena for the debate Tuesday night. I'm going to get to watch this bloodbath in person. I cannot wait. I think I'm going to put like my WWE gear on, talk about wearing a costume, because I think there'll be another cage match. I predict Buttigieg and Klobuchar will be rolling around on the floor hitting each other.
That's
I think Warren she'll be straddling Bloomberg, punching him out.
Well, it's funny. Your gut feeling? Will Bloomberg be a little better, a lot better, or is this just
him?
Is this just him? I mean, this is just
he
just,
better be. Yeah. Well, it is him. I've been telling you for 2 weeks. He doesn't have any personality. He's a bland, boring guy. So for him to be in a debate, and listen, in fairness to him, he hadn't done this in 10 years.
Yep.
He hasn't stood up on a debate stage. These guys, heck, Warren, she's right on a central casting of a debate. She knows what she's doing.
We know what
she
you think of her.
she bamboozles her way. She raises that bony arm and gets started, you know, and starts, I can't even look. So hopefully she'll wear her little purple pantsuit again.
Tuesday night of next week ahead of the South Carolina primary, which is next Saturday. The Nevada caucuses are tomorrow night, so we'll see how that works.
So that we'll see if the Nevada caucus. I'll be in Charleston Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday I go to D.C. I'll be broadcasting from the big CPAC convention.
Cool.
And if that's not enough, then I go off to Roanoke, Virginia for Super Tuesday.
Awesome.
We're going to have a big event there. So, yeah.
I'm sorry. I've got to ask. There are lots of places you can go for Super Tuesday, and I love the I-81 corridor as much as anyone. But Roanoke, Virginia? What?
Well, we have a big station there, and Dr. Gorka and I are both going to do a listener event.
Well,
hello, Mike.
That's awesome.
Pick up my silver bag.
Exactly.
Someone
Dr. bring Gorka. Me a latte.
So we will have some fun. Virginia is a big, important state this process,
Love
so it's kind of cool to be in Virginia for that. And then I'll get some breathing room. I watched Don Trump Jr. last night on Sean Hannity. Mm-hmm. You know what hit me while I was sitting there watching this?
46th President of the United States.
He might be the 46th President of the United States.
They chant
I'm
that
not
at
kidding
him now. When he does speaking engagements, they chant 46, 46,
Mark,
46.
Mark, yeah. He's that good.
Yep.
He is on point,
sure
and he's
is.
Passionate. He's got all the – in fact, dare I say it? He's got a little more polish than the old man.
Well, of course. Well, the old man's thing is not polish. It is kind of a rough-edged, rough-hewn ball of energy. Trump has sort of the same energy, but in a kind of a somewhat more refined package. I don't know.
I don't want to say anything to take away from President Trump, but I mean, I think he'd probably agree with me that Don Jr. is like Don, you know, the president, only just focused and even more so. I don't know, it just hit me. I thought, holy crap, he could run.
And look, I was in a room with Eric not too many days. We may have Trumps. I mean, and if Ivanka gets more conservative, we may have Trumps in the White House for another 30 years.
Speaking of the Trump family, I got Laura Trump on the show today at 11:05.
Mrs. Eric, fantastic.
Mrs. Eric Trump. Eric, so you were with Eric last week, and I'll be with Laura today.
We can't bring the curtain down on this without me giving you full credit. I view it this way. Maybe you've just trained me. We have another example of the crap file this morning. Another example of the Mike Gallagher crap file concept. Yep. When Trump has a good week, time. Either because he's done something awesome or the Democrats are imploding, they go looking for something in the crap file. And this morning, it's this election security official who shared her concerns that Russia is trying to meddle again and trying to get Trump across the finish line again. What a load of hooey.
It's the crap file. I'm telling you, he's also got now the highest approval rating and the average, the Real Clear Politics average of his polls. He's the highest level he's been at. Now, it's still not great. It's 40, whatever it is, 46, 49, but it's higher than it's been. And so every time he has a good week, they'll find something. There'll be they'll resurrect Stormy Daniels again before the week is out, probably. They'll do everything they can to try to stop this guy dead in his tracks. But don't believe it. I like our chances very much.
You know what else I like?
A good day
I like the idea. First of all, I love the upcoming Mike Gallagher show for a Friday. Get everybody ready for the week. And I can't wait we'll follow Mike along on his many travels.
Thank you, sir.
As he heads along in MG1, the Gulfstream or something, whatever he has chartered for that.
No,
I'm Robin Leach.
I'll be Delta. Oh, Delta all the way.
What part of the plane in Delta?
Might be in the front.
He might be. All right, I tell you, we want you to be in the front or close to it with good seats for an evening with Mike and Mark, April 23rd, Irving Arts Center. Who knows what'll be happening?
By the way, how's that going? How are tickets?
It's going superbly. Okay? It's so great.
Good.
It's so good. We got the VIP if you want to hang out with us backstage, eat our food.
That was my nightmare. That was my nightmare last week when we first started talking about
friends
11
and family.
People. 11 people show up. I get my show. Maybe I can get Trevor and Lily out there. They'll double the crowd,
it'd be quiet enough that we'd be heckled. It's like, hey, do Elizabeth Warren. Hey.
I could do Bernie Sanders. I got a stent in my heart.
Now, this is Bloomberg, funny.
You got a stent.
When I do Sanders, I turn him into Doc
Jackie
Brown.
Mason.
No, I turn him into Doc Brown. Marty, get into the DeLorean. I turn him into Reverend Jim. I turn him into Christopher Lloyd. You turn him into Jackie Mason. Also the Anteater cartoon. Also the John Biner doing Jackie Mason.
Well,
I don't know. What are you doing?
Everybody who likes this segment needs to come to the Irving Arts Center in April. We're going to have a blast. I can't wait. And then I'm going to go get this. I'm taking a little vacation right after. I'm going to go to London for a week because I like going to London. Now, we can have another day
That's
on
awesome.
That. Make fun of me.
I love it. It's not your father's Europe, and it's not, London, Paris, Germany. But listen, it's not like it's been totally overrun by jihadists where you can't have a good time. London is a fantastic city. Fantastic city.
I know, but that's the Brits, too. I kind of roll my eyes.
Listen, maybe you'll run into Nigel Farage people than
Showbiz Mike. Exactly. Showbiz Mike. They're doing a big production of Hairspray over there. I want to see it at the London Coliseum.
Good Lord. The what? It's not on some Drury Lane West End thing.
It's considered the West End, but they're playing it at the London Coliseum. So
and
got my tickets, got my
hairspray.
Okay. Oh, come on. It's a great show. Okay. Good morning, Baltimore. There's the flasher that lives next door.
Look at the time. Okay. We may make you bust that out. We may make you bust out on that.
No, we got to do lyrics to Comedy Tonight is what you and I are going to do. I'm going to make you do it with me. I'm already writing it.
Got
to get Shane involved. It's Mike and Ron DeKay. We'll get them all. Yeah, we'll get it.
Rockette's leg kicking, it'll be all
and
there.
And that's when the audience heads to
we
the exits.
Are
that's
out.
When they go
we
running
are
to the exits.
All right, man. Have a great day.
All right, goodbye. Happy weekend.
Happy
See you next
weekend.
Week.
And it's going to be a happy day on April 23rd. That is a Thursday, right? At the Irving Arts Center, an evening with Mike and Mark. I don't even know what happens that night, but let's all find out together. Tickets on sale at 660amtheanswer.com. Let's get out of here for this hour anyway. I feel like Mike and I bogged down in so many other things because that never happens. That's the thing about an evening with Mark and Mike. It might be 8 hours long.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Oh, once we hit an hour and a half, Mike will start to glower at me and say, I got an Uber outside. Can we speed this up?
I love my buddy. Love me some Booker T and the MGs, too, to take us out.
All right, so I feel like that I've hit you with the notion that this election security official, I have divined magically that there's Russia meddling going on, but I haven't really given you enough detail on why this is BS. So let me do that as the 8 o'clock hour begins, and then other stuff to look forward to and things to address, local news, stuff going on topically. There's a couple of things I've had in my notebook all week long that I haven't gotten to. I bet I will today because that's kind of what Fridays are for. So come on, bring it. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis. Happy Friday.